It's been another exciting morning here at Kramer Center. It takes a village to raise a... Never mind, we won't say that. Okay. So, we are in the book of Romans, chapter 5. And we're going to read... We're not going to re-preach last week's sermon, okay? Maybe. Okay. But... It's good enough to preach over and over. We could preach it every week for a month. It wouldn't bother me. You know, there is a joke about that. There was a pastor, my dad used to tell this joke probably once a year. And there was a pastor that he showed up his first week, and man, he preached a sermon. And it was fantastic. The board brought him in afterwards, and he said, "Pastor, that was fantastic." And everybody was so enthusiastic, they voted him in, and he came in the next week. He went around and spent some time with some of the people during the week, okay? And then the next week he got up, same text, same sermon, exact, almost word for word, and even a little more emphatic, okay? Then the board meeting had a little meeting, and they said, "Well, he preached the same sermon." "Yeah, well, you know, that's... Let's just see what happens." The third week, he comes back during the week. He visits different people, spending time with them. He comes back the third week and preaches the exact same sermon, even more emphatically. And finally, they said, "Well, we're going to have a little, we want to talk to you, Pastor, just for a minute." And they brought him back there and said, "Hey, that's a great sermon, but that's 3 weeks in a row." He says, "Yeah, I have a policy." He said, "I keep preaching it until you do something about it." Amen. You know, so I don't know. Sometimes we maybe need a little accountability. But Romans has been both robbed from the church. And I mean, that means taken away parts of Romans. And it's also been used for everything in the world. But watch this. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith in this grace which we stand and rejoice and hope in the glory of God." I love those words, guys. "Not only that, but we also glory." This is the part I don't like as much. Okay. "We glory." Think about that word. "We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, but because the love of God has been poured out our heart by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Here's those words, justified. We're justified by faith. What that means is the tables were set right. We were in the red and now we're in the black. Okay, we were on the out of the family, now you're in the family. Okay, now I want to tell you, anybody ever go to their family reunions? Okay, it can be odd. Okay, just because you're blood kin don't mean you're going to get along that well. Just because you're this, that, and other. But I want to tell you, we all fuss and fight in this fellowship that we're in. Okay, not in this, because we're perfect here. I'm talking about the mother church. But anyway, but the point being is, we have been justified, and we just celebrated it with communion, and I did not have to use my knife or my gun, by the way. I thought that I could get into it this week. But the point being is this, guys, watch this. Literally, this part here is fixed. Y'all got that? We are reconciled to Christ through faith in him. Just like Abraham believed and was justified, right? By his faith, it was counted as righteousness. Think about that. How many of you believe that Jesus paid it all? We sang that song a minute ago, and man, I'm going to tell you, the only reason I don't just holler and go crazy is because we got a time limit here, you know, because I know y'all got to get to the buffet. Anyway, so what's this? We also can have peace. Is this world in peace this morning?
No.
Me going around saying peace, that's not going to get it, okay? That won't give the peace that we need. I want to tell you, knowing that I'm justified with him gives me the basis for me having peace with the people in this room, with the people outside of this room, because I don't have to prove anything because he's already proved it. Does that make sense? Okay, and that word peace, I love, as it looks like that, not divided, set up, nothing missing, completely whole. Just, you know, I can be that as I keep my eyes and faith on him. The next word is faith. Listen, that's rely, believe. We have confidence. We have reliance, assurance, and we can live in that faith, in the blessed assurance that he paid the price. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Did you know that's what the Bible said? People don't like that scripture. Yeah, but what about, yeah, okay. I'm tired of all you butts, okay? I'm tired of you butts. Don't be butting me anymore. Read the Bible and say, okay, that's the truth. I don't understand it all, but let's get along with it because it's the word of God, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So then the next word is that we talked about last week is grace. Okay, that word grace, favor, gift, calm, happy, and well off. And I want to tell you, let's just pretend you've got a job. Okay, I'm not saying you don't. Let's just pretend, okay? You got a job. You go and you work all week. And they give you a check at the end of the week, okay? They hand that to you, so you have received something, right? Now, don't get me wrong, you worked, okay, some of you, okay? But anyway, you was working, you got a check, okay? So you got that. Now that's what? Yours. Now I want you to watch this. Then it's your choice to do with what you have. Your time is that way. Your finances are that way. Your attitude is that way. You've given some stuff. Now, what are you going to do with it? Okay. And I want to tell you something. Since I have hello? Okay, well, that's still on. Can you give me some batteries? I'm sorry. Evidently. I thought these was lifetime. Oh, I messed my hair up. Horrible. Thank you. So, in fact, the truth is that since I have received, since I've started walking a lifestyle of receiving his grace, this is a lifestyle. This isn't just a document that I fill out and I was baptized on this day and yeah, you know, I got it, so now I go do what I want to. No. As I've started walking and investing in grace to others, you're not going to believe the grace I've received. If I go out here and plant maters, okay, and Stone County actually grows some good maters, okay? I plant maters, and we fertilize them, and we get put water on them, all that. What's going to come out of there probably? Probably not bananas. Probably not. Probably not, what else comes on the plant? Peas, okay, or whatever, cornbread comes on a plant too, doesn't it? But maybe not. Okay, but the point being is, corn, I guess, okay. Okay, but the point being, I'm a real farmer. But the point being is this, right? Get this, guys, get this. The bottom line is, I have received, thank you so much, I have received grace, and I have been, because since I can give you grace, because I've got it. I got my paycheck of grace, and it's not of anything that I've done or worked for, but I received it, and I put it in my pocket, and I've been handing it out. And I want to tell you something. I want to encourage you to do the same thing, because when you do that, you're going to get grace, okay? And if you're a keyboard commando, and you're going on there, keyboard, okay, don't say nothing to them people. You wouldn't say their face, because that's what the Bible says. If you have a problem with a brother, go to him and tell him. You know, if they won't get it right, get some more people to go with them, okay? And you may not know everything you think you know. But anyway, that's beside the point. How many of you want to receive grace from God? How many of you want to get enough that you can smear it around like peanut butter on everybody around you? Some of y'all ain't as excited about that peanut butter stuff, okay? Okay, all natural, whatever. I know some of you are thinking, it ain't to always save. Not to always save, okay. So here's the deal. Here's this next word. Not only we glory in tribulation. This is where we ended up last week. This is the hard part to talk about for me. This ain't natural. Okay? If I'm, not that y'all are like me, we've all got our own set of problems. But when I've got a list of things that I need to get done and blah, 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 and something comes in my way, it's not natural for me to go, well, you know, God obviously knows what he's doing. God obviously knows. And guess what? Happened again yesterday. I had my list and God had his list and they were not the same. Again. And so literally, that word glory can be interpreted. Not with, I'm not talking about twisting. I'm talking about just one of the words that goes into making that is boast. And here's the deal, guys. When I go through something, I normally hide it. But I want to tell you, God has been faithful to me in the middle of the worst times of my life. He has been faithful. And it has made me grow. And I told, you know, on this journey of grace that I've been on for the last 60 years, this going from judgment to grace. And on this journey, you wouldn't believe how painful part of it's been. I mean, yeah, you'd believe it. But the bottom line is it has been costly and it's hurt. But I know that God, all things working together for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. So watch this. When we go through tribulation, it will bring perseverance. Now, I can't talk about y'all because y'all get mad when I talk about y'all, okay? But watch this. This is what I know. The stuff that I'm talking about that I have been through, it's given me perseverance. Now, I describe it a little different than perseverance, but this is the best way I could describe it from my point of view is I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You could do what you want to do, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm not talking about what I want to do. I'm talking about what God's called me to do. And it may not be pretty, you know, and I'm going to be sweet while I'm doing it. I'm going to have a good attitude, even if I'm faking it till I make it, you know. But the bottom line is this, you will get perseverance. Perseverance means I ain't gonna quit, okay? I ain't gonna quit. So the person who wins, you can't win a race if you quit halfway through it, can you? You remember that guy, I think he was from Kenya, that fell and all this stuff was going on. There was no way he could ever win. There was all this stuff was going on. And he fell and he got up and he ran and came in, I don't know, hours or whatever after everybody else. And they got there and they said, well, why did you keep running? He said, because my country didn't send me here to stop halfway through. And God hasn't put you in this race for you to stop halfway through. And because you've fallen, hey, guess what? If you ain't fallen, you're probably in the wrong church this morning. Because, you know, there are pretty churches around you go to where everybody's perfect. But the bottom line is, guys, I'm going to tell you, we've all fallen and come short of what? The glory of God. If you ain't fallen, and here's the deal, and it may not be, may not be going the way you want to, but I want to tell you something. When you persevere, it builds character. There's that word that we're lacking in here. I want to tell you, not in this room, I'm talking about in this country. Character means this. When I say those words, I mean, when I want to be around somebody of good character, that doesn't mean they're perfect. 100% does not mean they're perfect. What it means is when they tell me something, I can take it to the bank. When they say I'm going to do this and I can take it to the bank, if they can do it for, you know, with it in their power, okay? And the bottom line, as you persevere and your character is changed, then you begin to see that glimmer of hope. And I'm going to tell you something. Do you know why I'm very, very hopeful this morning? You think I'm kidding. I always see the glass half empty. That's my nature. But the reason I'm very hopeful this morning is because I know that my God is faithful in my salvation. He's been faithful in every avenue of my life. That doesn't mean that I haven't suffered, that I haven't cried my tears, as David has said, have covered my pillow. Listen, it's not because it's been easy, but I want to tell you, he is faithful. And I have hope this morning. And quick review of our purpose here in this church is to give people hope. Because I want to tell you, there's people everywhere that have no hope. They've been kicked out of church. They've been kicked out of home. They've been kicked out of this. And we want to give people hope. And once that hope does, once that causes people to arrive, and whether it's in live or online, arrive, and then we try to give them God's word and the person of God, which is our help. Do you get that? That's my help is in him. That's why that I have hope this morning. That's why that I'm able to, I am optimistic, kinda, okay? But in those places that I am. But anyway, but the point being, and then we want to give them a home, two homes. Number one, you know, when I go to my house, sometimes I wear I don't know who that was. When my kids were teenagers, there were so many people in my house, but the people would leave their clothes there, and I'm still wearing those clothes. One of them's a pair of shorts that's like this long. They hit me like this, and they're way too big. I cinch them up, and sometimes I'm sitting there in the air conditioner after I've been a hot, and I'm sitting there in them ugly shorts, and I'm sure my hair. What's my hair thing? What's it called? This country singer that happens when it gets to sticking up like this. My Marty Stewart hair. After I've been wearing a cowboy hat all day, and then I kind of go like that, and it's kind of all up with Marty Stewart hair. And I'm sitting there, you know, and I don't have any Crocs, but just imagine me sitting there in those, you know, and watching reruns of Monk or whatever. But the point being is that's my home, and I want you to feel comfortable. And we have to do all things in order here and all that, but I want you to feel like this is your home, that you could be comfortable, that you know that you have a home here, you have a family here, and then you have an eternal home, which is what is, I mean, we're here 80 years, 90 years, to, you know, some of y'all, you know, 100, whatever, but here's the deal. We have an eternal home that's forever, and we want to make sure that you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's a stone. People don't like this part. I like it. There's a rock with my name on it up there. He says, your name is inscribed on my hand and it's inscribed on a stone. Oh yeah, come on, baby. Because you know, I go to graveyards all over the country. I started it years ago. I'll be somewhere, I'll see a graveyard, I'll pull over. And I'll go look at the stones and look at the dashes. And you say, what, are you nuts? No, because I pray. Not for the dead, for the living. And what happens is I'm always reminded it's that dash that we have. The birth and the end, and there's that dash. Do what God's called you to do in that dash. So that hope don't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit who was given to us. And some of y'all, when I say Holy Spirit, the first thing you say is, you know, it's scary. We can't talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, God is God. And if you understand, if you completely understand God, you got a little God. Jesus was the Son of God. And at one point, Jesus, which is God in the flesh, was here on earth. There's a voice in heaven, and Jesus was not throwing his voice. He's not a ventriloquist, okay? There's a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the best I can do, okay? And at the same time, the Holy Ghost, which is the same word as Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, lands on his shoulder. Is that what happened?
Yes.
Is that three different?
Yes.
But it's all the same. It's the Trinity. And if you got that, you know, I've seen it described all kinds of different ways. We're not going to get into that. That's a different teaching. This one, we don't have time. But the point is this, guys. Watch this. This is a spiritual gift, because other than the tongues of fire in Acts 2:4 and the dove, and I've heard there, you know, the wind, the came like a mighty wind, okay? That's the only times I know that it's spiritual. Do you know you got a spirit in you? You know that. It was put there by God. So the Holy Spirit was given to us. So verse 6. For we were still without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, guys, I've heard this several times in my life. But hearing it does not do it justice. Okay? I have been there about now three times during an adoption proceeding. And it's the most beautiful, wonderful picture. And I remember the first one was in the 90s. I was working, I was downstairs in my office. And somebody, I don't remember who it was, came by my office and said, Bruce, you need to come upstairs. I thought, oh Lord, there's a fight in the courtroom. And I said, what? And I said, no. You just need to come on up here. You need to see this. I have no idea why they thought I needed to see it. No idea. I go up there, the courtroom, there's a judge. There's a couple of attorneys. There's a man that I knew, his wife, and a teenage girl, and like one or two in the audience with me. And I think, oh, she's in trouble. Oh no. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I thought, where's the jury? What? And the first thing that happened was they put my friend on the stand, and they asked him his name, and they asked him He said, do you want this little girl to be your daughter? He said, yes, I do. Can you provide for this? Are you employed? Is all these documents true and correct? Yes, sir. I work here in this building. Because it was all on the record. Get this, it's all recorded. And he said, yes, sir. Have you thought about this? Have you weighed the cost of this? Yes, sir. So then to have his wife go for the same questions. Are these documents accurate? Is this what you want? Is this? Yes, sir. And then they go sit down. And then they put the little girl on the stand. And she tells him her name. And she begins to tell her story. A little bit of her story. There's not a dry eye in the audience. And the judge says, do you want these people to be your parents? She said, yes, sir. Do you love these people? Yes, sir. And I want to tell you something. By the pounding of his gavel, she went from an orphan to a daughter before my very eyes. And since this, then I've seen it happen twice with young men, young children that were abandoned and abused and brought under the auspice of their parents by the pounding of a gavel. Not because the mom and dad was perfect, not because the kid was perfect, by the declaration of someone above them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you are on the stand this morning, if you're at home or you're here, and they're asking the question, do you want me, not me, him, God, to be your heavenly Father? And I want to tell you, you're an idiot if you don't. And I'm sorry to say that. But if it's tugging at your heartstrings this morning, if you feel alone, if you feel like you, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus paid it all for you. He paid for all your sins. He paid for what you hadn't sinned yet. When you look at the bass boat next door and you wish you had it, whatever. I mean, I'm just saying, he's paid the price. And I want to tell you something. At 6 years old, five maybe, with my head stuck in a wooden folding chair, down on my knees during Sunday school, I think vacation Bible school, and they had told the story of Jesus, the Holy Ghost stirred me, and I said, yes. And he has never left me or forsaken me from that minute. And I have been bad. Three words just went through my work there that don't belong on TV whatever. I've not always been nice, okay? I've not been good. And sometimes I fall now. But here's the deal. Jesus paid it all. And when you start dragging along your pet theology, Jesus, and it makes me want to get a hammer. Because it does not, there is no Jesus and, okay? Does it matter what you do? Come on, have an amen. Yes. And we're going to get into that in the scriptures to come. Since you've been saved, since you've been redeemed, do you just go out and do what you want to? Just go crazy? No, okay? Because you're shooting at the target. Remember what sin is, shooting at the middle, and those arrows go somewhere and it's sticking the body of Christ. We got people in the body of Christ walking around all over the place with arrows sticking out of them because of people, you know, and act right. God's watching. Okay. And so is your kids and my kids. And it matters what you do. Much more than being now justified. Oh, sorry, I skipped 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us And yet, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified. There's that word again. There's that word again. Justified. Set right. By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Okay, now, this is the last thing I'm going to talk about, which means nothing when I say that. But I'm going to try. Okay, what's this? We had a basketball team. A lot of them went to this church. Okay. And they had, was it called a four-peat? They won the state championship 4 years in a row. Okay. Kim was actually wearing her t-shirts from it the other day. And I'm going to tell you something. There were some parents in the stands. We will be generic. Okay. That might have gotten upset over some calls from the referees. Referees. And there were some parents in the stands that might have got a little bit excited when their kid was not put in at the right time or whatever, okay? There might have been some parents, you know. In other words, everybody was just being who they are, right? But I'm going to tell you something happened. When we won, we went crazy. In a good way, not in a bad way, okay? The place erupted. It was a celebration like you've never seen. And I'm going to tell you something. I am becoming the guy, the obnoxious redneck that says, hey, I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. And I may get a little loud. And you say, oh, no, now we're going Pentecostal. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about being excited about my sins being forgiven. And hey, we'll do it in order. We'll do it in order, you know, in order that we might get out on time and whatever. So, but the point being is this, guy. I'm gonna tell you something else. Let's say tomorrow I go to Porter's, what used to be, what's it now? Sun Kissed? Sunfest? Okay, whatever. Sunfest. I go to Sunfest and they say, well, you know, we fried too much chicken. It's only one third of what it normally is. I'd probably get all I could carry. But then I'd be calling y'all and saying, hey, get in there and get some of that chicken. I mean, I wouldn't be keeping it a secret. Come down there and get some of that chicken. It's two thirds off, man, and it's good. It's hot. Come on, come get it. And I think they mixed in by accident some catfish. Come on, you know, whatever. So here's the deal. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, let's let the world know, let your face know that you're the rest of you saved, okay? That you're happy inside. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. But anyway, but the real, you know, and because it's not the circumstances that makes us happy. Amen. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. So, Father, thank you so much for these folks, God, and I appreciate them so much, Lord, for coming in person and being online, God, and your grace is enough. And if you're watching this morning, right now, and you say, Bruce, I've never received Christ, right now, say, Lord, I need a Savior. I know I'm a sinner. I've come short of the glory of God, and I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. Come into my heart. Change me. Make me into the man or woman that you call me to be, God. And if you pray that prayer, guys, it's the first step in a wonderful, beautiful path. And realize that we're in a battleship, not a cruise ship. But God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. God bless you. Thanks for watching.